Hello, this is Kiana, the artist. And thank you for coming. Again, this is Kiana, the artist. Thank you for coming on.
Okay. Righty, I'm here.
Hey everybody. I just want to say thank you for coming to The Journey Artists Around the World and The Journey, which our platform is designed to market the content and then promote their crafts by showing their artists' talents, ability, gifts, and powerless. The platform also offers an opportunity for the audience to hear, learn, get inspired through the program. We're open your mind to share and listen. It's also important for us to state the creativity who have overcome their different struggles, such as depression, drugs, crimination, disability, and highly recommend to come forward and share their life stories. My guess I have for you guys is Her Story True, and I want you guys to clap her in, and I'm so happy for her to be here on tonight.
Good evening.
We're so happy for you to be here on tonight. Can you tell everybody where you're from?
I am from Rochester, New York. But my family can be traced to all over the world.
Nice. And can you please tell your audience more about your journey as an artist, a poet, and how life been as an artist?
Okay, so I've been writing for a very long time. I started writing, I think I was about maybe like 11 or 12 years old. And it was inspired to write by, my grandmother. Art was a very big part of my family's legacy. Literally, like, every person in my family has some form of artistic talent. I fell in love with poetry. Me and my grandma used to take these trips to the library as a little kid, and she would introduce me to different forms of artists, whether they was musicians, writers, but poetry seemed to always connect with me because I love the way like they could use words. So for me, writing then turned into an outlet because of things that were happening in my life. So I could explain and I could say things tons of different ways and never say it the same way twice. It was, my way of escape. I never, ever until maybe I want to say about 4 or 5 years ago, even considered sharing my poetry with the world. For me, it was a personal thing in the beginning. It was my therapy. One day I wrote this poem called Dear Black Girls, and I let my son read it, and he was like, "Mom, you got to publish." And I kind of danced with the idea for a little bit because, again, like my poetry was special to me. It was personal. It was private. COVID happened for everybody. And it was like the perfect opportunity for me to start that process. And I've been on that journey. Sometimes it's been good. It's been, I've had those down times where people don't really accept what you write. But I continue to keep pushing because I really felt like I had a story to tell. I felt like my story needed to be heard, and other people needed to hear that, they weren't alone. you know. Mm-hmm. So I take every opportunity I can to share.
Okay. And you say you do have books. So have you, what are your books and CDs, and how can you say you accomplish, and are you proud of it?
Oh, definitely. my first book, my first book just went live, a couple of months ago over the summer. It's called Me First. And it is a collection of poems. Most of the poems are poems that I've wrote over the course of a lifetime. A lot of them are things that I've written when I was in my teen years. Some of them are current pieces, but they could walk you through my life up to a certain point. It's illustrated by my daughter. So even some of her artwork is displayed in my book. It can be found on Amazon for purchase.
Great. All right. And can you please tell us more about the struggles you have to overcome so far, and what's able to you to overcome such struggles?
So, as a child, I was sexually assaulted by a family member. My mother, she was an alcoholic. And I believe that was because of her own undealt with traumas. So for me, if it wasn't for my poetry and it wasn't for my my ability to write, I wouldn't have been able to make it through those times because, you know, we have different resources and, you know, for people now, but you know, when I was a kid, that just wasn't the way it was. A lot of the adults didn't do what I felt like they needed to protect me, you know, and I don't fault them. I don't blame them because you never know why people deal with certain things in certain ways. Things that I've experienced, you know, growing up as an adult. My mental health, I've dealt with depression, anxiety, you know, and being able to write when I didn't feel like I could share that part of me or those things with anybody else, helped me make it through like the tough times. Poetry is, you know, it's also like, it's my love language to myself, you know, it's how I communicate with myself, self-reflect. Writing helps me work through problems and things that I experience in life.
Oh, wow. And what would be your advice to other poets that's facing the similar challenges that you have managed to overcome?
So my advice to other poets, you know, also reflects back to my slogan from my website, which is Share, Write, Live. Share it, you know, even if you're not ready to share it with the world, share it with yourself. Don't let anybody tell you what your story should look like or how you should tell that story. Don't let anybody tell you, you know, what you shouldn't be doing with your story. We all go through stuff in different ways. We all process things different ways. You know, your story is your story. Your truth is your truth. It also brings me back to there is a quote by Langston Hughes that says, "An artist must be free to choose what he does." Certainly, but he must also never be afraid to do what he might choose. You know, and I believe that wholeheartedly. Stand by it. Own it.
Oh, yes. And I know you have a poem for us tonight, right?
I do.
There you go. Snap your fingers, everybody. She's coming with a poem.
I always have that work. So this first piece is called Recovery. And this is a piece that kind of talks about my relationship with my poetry, with my pen. These lines are the veins for the ink I bleed. It births the words that now paint the Van Gogh of my misery. Afraid to just open my mouth and speak to remove the veil, unveiling conflicting theories of my identity. Each battling to overcome the conscious or remain unconscious parts of me. Performing cardiac surgery, suturing my heart, ensuring that no one will be permitted to visualize what's inside. No one can get close enough to diagnose my barriers and boundaries. My pain protects me. Or at least that's what I want you to believe. Tell me, are you convinced? Do I allow it to die so that I may live, so that I can breathe? Do I want the uncertainties it will present? Addicted to hiding all the parts of me that are vulnerable, weak. Addicted to laying my soul bare on these pages. Addicted to the silence and the noise, the emotional torment, and the infatuation of fairy tale endings and harsh words. The just shut up, the Lord, please help me. You see, these stanzas, they don't speak until I choose to lay prostrate before this pad with pen in hand. They are my sanctuary. I, the high priestess, these are my prayers, my confessions. Created with beautiful beginnings in my unconscious, consciously, they don't violate my temple. They refuse to take advantage of my gifts. They refuse to seek and destroy. They pour into me. Yes, they are my addiction. Addictively addicting my dictation, traces of the many faces I face, subjective and objective truths. My noun, verbs, and pronouns at my disposal become these words. These words sanction space for me to be exposed and naked. I am married to their melody, serenaded by their symphony. They are my warrior. Protecting me from the affliction of my enemies, covering me intimately, they are my foreplay. Making love to parts of me that I cannot see, they soothe and cuddle me, caressing my wounds, I hide as I cry. Addicted to these phrases, terms used to define my experience, these lines. My covenant, my prayers, my thoughts, my fears, my addictions allow me to indulge, allowing me to take in and release. I am my addiction. I am the metaphors and similes. I am my addiction. My addiction is my addiction. And it's all I ever knew.
Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Next question is, as a poet, what is like to be on our platform, the Journey Artists Around the World podcast?
So this is my second podcast. This is my second feature on a podcast. And it's very interesting because normally venues that I may perform in or share in, you know, you're limited to who you can reach within a certain confound. Mm-hmm. You know, if, you know, I go here and I participate in open mic, like only those people at that open mic will hear me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I do things on Clubhouse, you know, mm-hmm. so only those people on Clubhouse will hear me. But what, you know, is interesting about, you know, this podcast, and you know, they're available to, you know, so many different people on so many different platforms. So it gives me the ability to, you know, stretch my arms wide beyond the confines of the four walls, you know, that I may be in, or, you know, mm-hmm. it's not, the space is not restricted. So, you know, it gives me the opportunity to share my pieces and share my art with.
Yeah, to the world.
To the world, you know. So, yeah, so.
Which is a good thing. I know you have a second porn for us, too. So you have to go check her out, everybody. YouTube, yes. Instagram, everywhere. Amazon, you got to go check her out.
Yep. And I have a website.
Oh, yes. I put it in a chat for people to check it out.
Yeah. So this next piece is called My Darkness. And this piece, it kind of talks about, you know, that place I was in my life and, you know, understanding that, you know, I'm not my trauma, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm not stuck there. So, this is My Darkness. I used to be afraid of the dark, but I'm not anymore. Just afraid of the unknown. You know, the things I don't know. I know the dark and the things that I left there before the lights went out. I used to long for that she I used to be. I used to mourn her absence. I used to grieve her disappearance because I thought she was lost to me. See, the reality is she is just stuck in the dark, staring at the light, never really being able to step into it because she thought her darkness was stronger. Well, maybe it was for a little while because she didn't understand. She had no clue that her darkness was her truth. See, he made the darkness look so big. He made the darkness seem like it was a complete whole. He made her feel like if she could not step into the light, then she was weak, useless, worthless. Even though she could see it, she could feel its rays beaming from the hallway. It was unattainable. It was impossible for her to benefit from the light she saw. But the truth of the matter, which I'm here to share, is as long as the light is visible, the darkness has not won. And that's that piece.
We love it. We love it. Please go check her out. We loving it. We loving it. All right. Our next question would be, if you was to offer advice to the next generation poets who wish to become their very own poet, what would it be? And what steps would you recommend them to take?
So, what I would say to the poets, out there would be, do it, you know, just do it. Do it unapologetically. Press forward. Again, referring back to that quote from Langston Hughes, like, don't be afraid to share your story. Make the connections. Do your research.
Mm-hmm.
You know, own it. Don't let nobody mm-hmm. judge what your story should or shouldn't be.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Love it. So you have a third poem for us?
Yes, I do. So this one is called The White Dress. And this piece speaks to growing up. I was made to believe like that showing emotions made you weak. Mm-hmm. You had to appear a certain way. It was all about how you looked to everybody else. Like you could not let anybody see like any weakness. You had to be mm-hmm. able to fit into the stereotype. So this is called White Dress. Dun 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 dun. The day has come. I need to clean my soul. my body. Am I ready? Holy, sanctified, pure, undefiled, without blame, wash my face in the shame of my iniquities. My heart is so broken. It no longer has the capacity to hold the embarrassment and guilt. My mind, polluted and tormented by the consistent participation in, I declare war on me. I know that I have no right to even consider that I am worthy enough, clean enough. I have no more space to hide this thing that has been given to me. Will they be able to see it? I know I must find a way to fit into this white dress. Last night, I tried. Oh my God, I tried to wipe it all away. I scrubbed and scrubbed. How do I free myself from all of this? I have no idea what I need to throw away. What about me is socially acceptable? What about me is socially lovable? Society says I'm a mutt, a mongrel, disgraceful. Who is gonna want something so used? How do I wear this white dress when society has labeled me a dirty piece of trash? I have no dowry to bear for my bridegroom, to bribe the heart of those around me to see beyond my failures to achieve the unachievable. Perfection. Is it attainable for me? For any of us? My past, my family tree. Look at me. I know you see it. They said, I need to put on this white dress. But what about all the dirt? All the filth I've called my life? How do I hide it all? Will I? Will anyone ever be perfect enough to wear this white dress? And that's that piece.
I love it. You have to go check her out, guys. Just check her out. Her website is in the chat box. And I know people watching all around the world, the coast and everything. So you got to do your thing. Don't stop writing. Continue to write your books, CDs. Don't stop doing it. We need people like you, you know, to continue to tell your story. You know, they always say when you tell your story, most of the time it's not for you, it's for the other person. Because you are already a healer, but they need to be healed too. So, we know you have another poem for us, right?
I do. So, this piece is called Dear Black Girls. And this is a piece that I wrote based on some things I seen working at one of the schools here where I live. And I just felt like, you know, some of our girls just needed to be encouraged. So it's called Dear Black Girls. Dear Black Girls, I need you to remember, you are more than just a sweet ride or a warm place to reside in the cold of December. I need you to understand that you are royalty divine, the strong roots of Earth's plenty vines. I know that it gets hard. There are times when you long to be held by something strong and fine. However, don't settle for cheap vodka or being just a dime. For centuries, your worth has been redefined and readjusted to just a woman as if less than valuable. However, if not for the woman, then there would be none. If not for the woman who bear the pains of birth, this earth would be populated with nothing but livestock and dirt. Biblically, we learn that we are the helpmeet, backbone, pulled from the side of Adam as he closed his eyes, the victim of the serpent in the Garden of Eden, where the mother of all met her demise. However, don't too quickly settle or take the blame for all the many ways we have been renamed or defamed. My only request is that you take a moment to redirect your thinking. See this situation through different eyes. My dear, you are virtuous, beautiful, tender, and kind. If not for the backbone which keeps the head stable, how could the man stand with pride and hold his head high? If not for the nurturing and gentle characteristics of you, my queen, what will happen to the king? So don't count yourself unworthy. Hang your head down low. No, understand and accept the beauty you possess. Unleash your strength. Walk not in what society sees you to be, but display your glory for the world visually, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Intelligence and resilience are what I aim to instill. You are not just some hole and seed to spill. So much more do you have to contribute. Please answer me this. Why are they scared? Are they scared to allow you to be free from the bondage and chains of a stagnant and unprogressive society? Stakeholders in a belief that they remain superior by putting you in a cloak of shame? We've all made bad choices and yearn to belong. We all have opportunities and barriers that may or may not come along. We all deserve to experience life without disregard and disrespect. We all should be allowed to just be. No, this is not just another Black woman be free silhouette. No, my dear, this is a petition to you and to me, to all the little girls struggling to find and share the desire to establish their own identity. This is a civil enactment to every person, brown, blue, and beige. You deserve the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is a declaration of love, a proclamation to freedom, without constraint to progress through this journey to who you are destined to become. Your identity is not who others decide you should see when you stand in front of the looking glass. She is who you determine you are. She is whom you choose to share with the world, not the persons others prefer you to be. She is you, her, in me. And that's that piece, y'all.
We are so happy for you to come on here showing your pieces and people support you and everything. One more last question, and this one is, what is like to be a healer? Like you said in your poems that, you know, when you're healing, like for the Black girl, you know, so many Black girls around the world that's been hurting and, you know, child neglect or foster care or, you know, rape or molested and different things like that. But as a Black woman, you know, what is it like to be a healer, you know?
So for me, what it is like to be considered a healer, for me, it is rewarding. It is me paying it forward, you know, because I think of those moments in my life when I didn't have anybody to say certain things to me, you know. So this is my opportunity to do different, you know. It's one thing when you can sit and you can point out all the problems. You can see all the things that are wrong, you know, but what makes you, you know, a contributor to the solution is when you not only say what needs to be done, but you own accountability. You know, I'm a true believer that if you see a problem, like, it is not just your responsibility to tell other people what they need to do and what should be done different, but what can you do different? Like, how can you be the change? Be the change, like Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. You know, so I don't even really, you say healer, I don't even really look at myself as a you know, a healer, like a support, a sister. You know what I mean? Like a friend, a ear, you know, I'm all those things that I needed someone to be for me, you know? And if in the process, somebody continues to walk, you know, starts their healing process, because I truly believe that healing is, you know, that's the person who needs the healing. They're the ones who have to be the healer. They are the ones who have to, you know, take charge in that healing process. Like, I am just a vessel, you know. You know, that's it. You know, I'm just a vessel.
We're so happy, and we're glad that, you know, like you said, though, sometimes you don't call yourself a healer, but, you know, some people say you are, but, you know, at the same time, you who you are, because you tell your story. Mm-hmm. So, everybody, that is her story too. So please go check her out at www.writetolive.net. Go check out her books on Amazon. Get with her, check her out, and see what else she has going on. So, do you have anything else going on so your audience can follow you and know what's going on?
You know, my book, I have a second book, that I am pushing to come out around Valentine's Day. Let me see what else. There's my website, www.writetolive2, live.net. On my website, there are blogs, there are discussion posts, there are ways for people to contribute. I also, if people need to advertise, there's even, you know, the possibility of, you know, advertising your event or your small business. I have really cool merchandise. Some of my collections include Manifest Your Destiny collection. I have the Your Story Empowers collection, the Recreate Your Story collection, and also, you know, lots of cool Right to Live merchandise on there. Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, check it out. I'm also on Clubhouse. If you want to follow me on Clubhouse, my name is Her Story True on Clubhouse. True is spelled T-R-U. I'm on Instagram. My Instagram tag is Her Story True, T-R-U-O-1. I'm on Facebook, and you can follow me on Facebook at Right to Live Poetry Group. Those places you all find, if there's any like cool events or something that I'm participating on, I usually post them on my website, on my Facebook, my Instagram, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you guys. We thank you for being on our show, and thank you for bringing us your talent, your poems, and your audience love it. So guys, please go check her out, support her and everything that she do. You can find me again, Kiana the Artist, on all social media. Podcast is Journey Artists Around the World, my open mic, which is The Journey. So hey, check out my information as well. I do open mics first and second on Wednesdays, in the winter time and fall time. Summertime is on Saturdays. So, and I do writing workshops and different things like that. So please go check her out and check me out. And we're going out for tonight, everybody, and thank you for being our audience. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.